So our surnames are our family names. You know, all of our surnames and family names, all the names have different levels. I mean, when you think about our culture, different surnames have different levels of power and authority. I mean, if your name is like Rockefeller, or if your name is Bush or Gates, you know, a lot of doors are going to open up for you just because of your name and what your name is. Names are important. But there's also some names like Hostetler that don't really carry that much authority or power. But the names are still dear to us because of what they represent. And names do have meaning. Names do have power. Let me give you an example of this, and I'm going to use an example that's the name. It's not actually a surname. It's not a name of a person, but it illustrates the point really well. It's actually the name of a place. It's the name of this place. Because I never told you guys how we got the name City on a Hill Teaching Center. So about 2.5 years ago? About 2.5 years ago is when we had our first service here. A little bit shy of that. But we knew that Don and I have known for a long, many, many years that this is what God called us to do. I mean, I would say probably 15 years or more, we knew that God called us to do this. We were just waiting for God's timing for it to take place. Well, about 6 or 7 years ago, we were driving back from Florida. When Don and I drive to Florida, we go straight through. So I like to take the time that's from midnight to sunrise, because Donna can sleep. She wouldn't want to drive it anyway. She can sleep. I listen to teaching tapes. I can pray. I can just listen and hear God. So I really enjoy that time. It's good time for me. And on this one particular trip that we were driving back from Florida, it's like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It's right in the middle of that shift. And during that time, I'm listening to this teacher, and he's talking about, I didn't know what he was talking about, but he referenced the verse, Matthew 5:14, which is, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And as soon as I wasn't even thinking about this. As soon as I heard that, it was just like a jolt of the Holy Spirit inside of me. Had I been starting to doze off a little bit, I don't doze off when you're sleeping and I'm driving, just so you know. But had I felt a little bit tired at all, I mean, I would have been wide awake. Because as soon as I heard that, I knew that was the Holy Spirit telling me, that's the name for the church that you're going to plant. And again, remember, this is like a good 5 years before we even started putting the thing together. So the Holy Spirit told me, and I was so excited, I couldn't wait for Donna to wake up so I could tell her what the name was. And so she finally woke up, and I told her I was excited, she was excited. The one thing I didn't do was write it down. And you have to understand that, again, there was a lot of years to go before we actually even started the process, the legal process of putting this together. So since there's a lot of years, there's other things. I mean, all those years ago, there's still a lot of other things in your life. So you're not thinking about this every day. I just had few little inklings of this. You're not thinking about it. And so when you try to pull it back up, it was a few months later, and I was trying to remember, man, God gave me an awesome name for that. And I just couldn't remember it. But Don is usually very good. There's a lot of times that Don and I have conversations, and I'll get real excited about something, and it's usually something spiritual or a verse, and I'm just excited, and I tell her. And then my mind goes somewhere else, and a few days later, it's like, Donna, do you remember? We were sitting in a restaurant. It was at Biagi's. We were by the window. You were wearing this coat. I was wearing that. You were eating this salad. I was having that. I was 3 bites in, and I said this. Do you remember what it was? Because it was really awesome, but I can't remember what it is. And Donna will oftentimes, right away, remember. But sometimes she doesn't, but I don't worry about it. Because if Donna says, let me think about it, usually literally within a few days, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to her, and she'll say, "Oh, yes, that's what it was. Thank you." So I told Donna, you know, help me remember. Yeah, she couldn't remember. I mean, it was gone. And I was literally heartbroken that it was gone, because I know that the Holy Spirit himself told me, this is the name you're supposed to use for the church plant that I'm going to have you put together. And I forgot it. I mean, I felt terrible. And I said, God, I promise. Holy Spirit, if you bring it back to me, I promise I will write it down. And I didn't get anything for like 2 weeks, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, it came. So I did write it down. Obviously, I did remember it, since you can see it on the front door. It did come back to me. Let me sidetrack for just a second, because this has nothing to do with the message today, but this is just good spiritual advice. I mean this sincerely. If the Holy Spirit never tells you something, I mean, if God speaks to you directly about something, for heaven's sakes, write it down. Really, write it down, because what it does when you write it down, it shows that you respect the fact that the Holy Spirit spoke something singularly to you. It shows that you have an appreciation for the fact that he spoke to you as an individual. Write it down. It also saves you a lot of embarrassment later and a lot of desperation as well. So let's go back to the story. So I have now remembered what the name is. So I remember City on a Hill. Good. I'm good to go. Now let's move forward about two more years. Don and I were going to a Hostetler family reunion, which are a lot of fun. I say that for those who are listening, or maybe check online, it might be family members. They're a lot of fun. If they're listening, they know they're not a lot of fun either. So we were at this one, and this is like one of the last ones that they're going to have. So this is one of the last Hostetler reunions that was being scheduled and set. And so because it was one of the last ones, there tended to be more talk about family history than normally is discussed during the fun Hostetler family reunions. And so at this one point, it came up, they started to talk about the etymology of the name Hostetler. And so, I mean, it was not unfamiliar to me. It's like Diane. I had known since I was a little boy, I had been told what the name Hostetler meant. And from a little boy, I was told that the name Hostetler meant high livers. Which as a little boy, okay, and my dad even had a plaque in the guest bathroom downstairs that said Hostetler and it said high livers. And he probably thought it was really cool because he probably thought, hey, Hostetlers, we live the high life. As a little boy, I read that and I was thinking, livers, like your liver. And I was thinking, are we some kind of freaks of nature, you know, that have some kind of genetic problem that there's a displacement of our livers and they're high up in our torso. And I actually had a picture of our livers like under our armpits or something because that's the way little boys think. You do think along those lines. So, I mean, I had that kind of vision of what it was. Now, let's go back forward to when I was at the reunion again. By that point, I did have an understanding of what Hostetler meant. I understood that it meant, you know, someone that's living up in a high place. And so we were sitting there at that Hostetler reunion, and as this one guy is talking, he was an older guy, and he's talking about the etymology of the name Hostetler, and I thought, yeah, I know what this is all about. I mean, it's an ugly name. I mean, the picture doesn't even a pretty picture because I can't get that liver out of my mind. So he's talking about it, and he said, yeah, Hostetler, if you take it down and define it as close as you can to the original German, it actually means those who live high on a hill. And I heard that, and it was just like, oh, my gosh, I never made that connection before. And how awesome is God that the very vision that I had that I was passionate about, because that's why I chose, you know, that's why that verse, I've always loved that verse. And that's why when I heard that verse, when that man was teaching, that's why it just spoke to me. I knew the Holy Spirit said, how awesome is God that he would take something I'm passionate about and he would tie that back into my whole family's history. I mean, this is the power. I'm just giving you an example. This is the power of names. And in our surnames, we have all established that most of us know what our first names mean. But most of us don't know what our surname is. Our surnames, they are important. They do carry with us. They do carry power. They do carry things with us. How do most of you feel about your family name? Because, I mean, like Hostetler, it's like, you know, doesn't roll off the tongue real easy. It's not a name that, I remember when my mom got divorced, I was about 12 years old, and she got remarried to a man named Scott Douglas. And here's the first thing I said to my mom, because I hated the name Hostetler. Can I change my name? When you got married, you guys are getting married, right? When you get married, can I change my name to Douglas? She said, no. So, and how do you feel about your name? How is it you feel about the family name, the surname that you have? You know, perhaps maybe you think that, well, it's not a name that carries a lot of power or authority. Hostetler doesn't carry a lot of, there's not a lot of doors that open up because of the name Hostetler. So maybe you feel like your name doesn't carry a lot of power and authority. And maybe you think to yourself that there's not a lot of history to your name. Or maybe there is history to your name and you'd rather leave that in the past. You know, but whatever it is, this is the good news for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. Whatever your last name is, whatever your surname is, whatever the name is that you carry through this present life, while it's important, it's not the family name that you now possess. You now possess a name that does have power, that does have authority. Listen to this. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. Ephesians 3, 14, 15, 16. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. You think there's some power in your name there? He would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might through his spirit in the inner man. As a child of God, you are named with the name of the head of our family. That's Jesus Christ. As a child of God, you are named with his name. You carry the family name that is the name above all names. And the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. This is the family name that you carry. You are part of a family that has power, has authority, has righteousness, and has honor. This is the family that you are a part of. This is what you need to know. Family names, surnames carry power. They carry authority with them. This is the name that you have. The Bible tells us that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs with him. Why? Because you're part of the family. You're part of his family. You know, there is a lot of names in our culture that do have, that do carry with it authority and power. If your name is Rockefeller or your name is Gates or your name is Kennedy or something like that, there's a lot of doors that are going to open up for you that wouldn't open up for other people. Because they don't have those same family ties. There's power in some of those names. But you've got the family name that is the name of Jesus. See, names of other families have power and may open up certain doors that you can't get into. But the name that you have opens up spiritual doors. It opens up the doors of victory and overcoming in the spiritual realm, which is then manifested in this natural realm. This is the power of the family name that you carry. And most of us don't take advantage of the power of the name that we have with us. That's a lot of power and authority when you think of it as Jesus Christ. You are named after the name, with the name of the head of the family, Jesus Christ. That is your name. It's the authority that is carried in your family name. That's a lot of power that is in that family name. Now, it says in verse number 15, after you get past verse number 15, and verse number 15, if we can go back to that, let's get Ephesians 3, 14, 15, and 16. In verse number 15, after it establishes the fact that we have that family ties with Jesus Christ, the next verse, verse number 16, tells us that we would be strengthened by the might of his Holy Spirit power flowing through you. You have the promise of the strength of the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit power flowing through you. This is what you have because this is your family name. Do you experience, is this what we experience on a daily basis? I mean, do we go through our lives and experience the victories, the overcoming of the Holy Spirit power flowing through us? This should be our daily experience. This should be the common experience of our days because this is the family name that we carry with us. Understanding this and understanding the power of that family name, that should change our perception of our current situation, our current circumstances. Rather than just giving in or accepting, you know, the difficult trials that life brings to us, rather than just accepting those things, we should put to use the power of our family name to overturn and change those situations and make them victorious. Open up the doors to victory. Open up the doors to overcoming in the spiritual realm. Open those things up so that we can experience it and receive it here in the natural realm. Come on, guys. This is your family name. This is what you have. This is the power that is in each one of us. If you go down just a few verses from here, you can see this point is really emphasized. So if you stay in Ephesians chapter 13, just go down to verse number 20. This is a verse I've told you guys before. It's one of my favorite verses. But it really emphasizes the point that I'm trying to get us to see. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, it says, "Now to him who is able," who's that? Jesus Christ. "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think." I can ask and think of a lot. There's a lot of things that I can think and ask for of Jesus Christ in my life. "He is able to do above, exceedingly abundantly above, all that we can ask or think." How? "According to the power that works through us." This is talking about the Holy Spirit power that dwells within you. The Holy Spirit that is in you. This is his power flowing through you. It's not your power. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through you because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. The power that flows through you because this is your family name. If you had the name Rockefeller, it would carry power and authority. You've got a greater name carrying greater power and authority. So what is it you're dealing with, or what is it you're facing in life? What are the problems that you're dealing with today as you look towards the end of today and as you look towards the rest of this week? What are the things that you deal with? Maybe if you're dealing with some kind of financial issues, or if it's a health issue, or if it's a marital issue, or if it's a mental issue, or an emotional issue, or anything that is keeping the peace of God from your life, whatever that is, you don't have to sit by and take it. You don't have to just sit there and take it. I should have used that for your name. Sitter. Sitter. One who has the family name of God with power and authority. Sitter. One who has the family name of God and won't just sit and take it. That's what it should be. We dub, that's your name now. That's what it means. If somebody asks you, tell them that's what it means. You don't have to just sit and take it. And we can change those things. Do something because of who you are in Jesus Christ. Do something because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. If your last name was Kennedy or Rockefeller, and you had some kind of a need, if you had a financial need and your name was Kennedy, if you had a medical, you needed medical assistance, or if your name was Kennedy and you needed some kind of legal assistance, or anything in your life, if your name was a name that carried a lot of power with it, do you think it would be a problem for you in any of those areas of need that you might face? No, because your family name, you're going to get, your family name brings power and authority. You're going to have whatever it is that you need. You're going to receive whatever it is. In fact, because of that power and the authority that comes with those kinds of names, you're probably going to have resources that most of the rest of us would not be able to have. But again, the good news is you have the full resources of all of heaven available to you because you carry the family name of Jesus Christ. This is what we have. And yet we don't think about it. I mean, it ties in exactly what Jim was talking about this morning with the word that the Holy Spirit just gave through Jim. This is exactly what we're talking about. You know, we have, this is the Holy Spirit that flows through us. It should change our lives. It should change the perception of how we live our lives. And it should change how we touch and affect others. Because knowing the power of the name that we carry, the family name that we carry, when we pray for people, we should see them healed and delivered. When we pray for people's financial situations, we should see those things met. We should see the supernatural taking place because we're praying, and we're praying in the authority of Jesus' name. It's our family name, and it carries with it power and authority. All right, so let's go down to, move a little bit further on to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified. It's going to be showed up here on the wall from the Amplified Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. First Peter is very close to the end. Go back, Revelation, Jude, 1 and 2 John, and then Peter's are just before that. Sounds like you all got it. So here's 1 Peter 2:9 from the Amplified Bible. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. How does Jesus see you? He sees you as a member of the family. You are a chosen race. That means Jesus set you apart for his purposes. Think of it this way. Given the choice, he chose you. Given the choice, Jesus chose you. That's how special it is to us. If you look in the Greek where it says race, race there actually means kin. So you can read this as you are a chosen kin. Again, this points to you as being a part of the family, a member of the family. This is the way that Jesus looks at you and I, as a member of the family. Take advantage of that being in that family with that powerful name. It's the name of your family. You know, Trejo is a great name. It's not as great as the name of Jesus. This is the power of the name that we have and that we should be utilizing. So if we are part of the family, what's our position then in the family? See, I always think the middle child is like the best position, because any middle children out there? Yes. And would you all agree middle child is the best, right? How many of you guys are the oldest? See, this is exactly what the oldest child does. Did you see that? Boom! That is exactly what the oldest, what my brother would do too. They are in charge. Here's the bad thing about being the oldest child. You've got to set a standard that's above all the rest of us. We don't have to live up to the same standard that you have to live up to, because that's just the way that it is. How many of you guys are like the youngest? Yeah, you guys have it the easiest in the world. I mean, there's like, man, it is easy for you guys. And actually, when it talks about position, I mean, it's fun to look at those things. But when it says, when I ask you, what is your position in the family? It's none of those things. I mean, it's much better. Because what it says in this verse is, here's your position. In the family of Jesus Christ, here's your position. You are a royal, which that sounds really good, doesn't it? I like that. You're royalty. You are a royal priesthood. That means you have authority in both the kingly office as well as in the priestly office. You know, in Bible times, God separated those two offices. You had the kingly office and you had the priestly office. The king was the one who was in charge. He was responsible. He had authority for all things physical. The priest had authority in all things that were spiritual. God separated those two things. It's not the way it is for you and I. In the Old Testament, the king was the one who represented God before the people. He represented God and he served the people as he represented God. For the priest represented the people and served God by being the people's representative. Does that make sense? So the king, this is what God used the king as a vessel to rule, lead, and reign over his people. This is what the rule, this is what the job or the responsibility of the king was. The priest was a vessel that God used to bring the sacrifices on behalf of the people to God. So you can see they're totally different offices, and it was very important to God to keep those offices separate. But the kind of cool thing is, you hold both offices. You know, in the Old Testament, for the priests were holy. They were set apart for service unto the Lord. The high priest, and it was only the high priest, only the high priest was able to go into the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of God, and that only on the Day of Atonement. That's the offices of the priests. The priests were also the ones that would listen to hear and tell you what God was saying. So if as a people, the people, the Israelites had a question of God, they would ask the question, and then the priests would use their precious stone lots, the Urim and Thummim, and they would cast those lots, and they would determine what it was that God's answer was. God would speak to them through those lots. So that was the role of the priests. In the Old Testament for the kings were the ones who ruled the people. They reigned over the people. They represented God. They were supposed to represent God and reign over the people. In the Hebrew, the word king is actually Melech. Melech, I think it is. And what the word actually means is one who reigns. And it also means one who ascends to the throne. So that's the king. The king is one who reigns. He leads the people. He ascends to the throne. He was the commander-in-chief of God's people. He was the chief executive of God's people. But you hold both offices. You are royal priesthood. You are the king. You hold the office of king in that family. That's your position. And you hold the office of priest. So let's go back and look at those responsibilities and what those responsibilities were. Because you hold both offices. From your office, from your role, from your office as king, you rule and reign in your life today. You rule and reign in life because of the name of Jesus. It's your family name. And that's your office as king. Rule and reign in your lives. It doesn't matter what comes up. It doesn't matter what things come that are contrary to the promises of God. You rule and reign. Because you hold the family name of Jesus and you have the office of king. You have the full power of Jesus Christ backing up whatever you pronounce in the Word of God. Think about that. You speak the Word of God and you have the full power of Jesus Christ backing up what you say and what you speak. This is your role. This is part of your role. This is your office as the king. This is who you are. This is the joy of holding both of those offices. And remember, the king means to ascend to the throne. Jesus ascended to the throne. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So you share in all of that power. I've said that verse twice. This is Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. Because I want you to see this. The king is one who ascends to the throne. Jesus ascended to the throne, and because you're a joint heir, you share that power. Romans 8, 17 says, and if children, then heirs. Are you children of God? Then you're heirs. That means all that is his is yours. Every victory he won, everything that he has established is yours. Because you're the king. You have the office of the king. That is your place in the family. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. This is who you are. This is your office as the king. Now, let's look at your office as the priest. From your office as the priest, you are made holy through Jesus Christ. You are set aside for his work. You are set aside for his service. And we said that the high priests, only the high priests could go and enter into the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of God. You're a royal priesthood. You get to be in the presence of God all day long, all through your life. There's nothing that holds you back. You're continually in the presence of God. You are tied to the throne of Jesus Christ. You're tied to the throne room of the Father because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your spirit. It's what we talked about a number of weeks ago. It's that great spiritual umbilical cord of life that ties you because of the Holy Spirit in you, in your spirit. The Holy Spirit ties you directly to the throne room, to the kingdom of God. You are always in the presence of God. In the Old Testament, the priests used the Urim and Thummim to hear what God was determined, to determine what God was saying. You get the Holy Spirit speaking to you every moment of every day. This is your position as royal priesthood. Rule and reign. Operate in the kingly office. Operate in the priestly office. Hear God speaking to you. He speaks to you as he did to the priests. You are a royal priesthood. This is your position. 1 Peter 2:9 also says that you are a dedicated nation. Jesus is dedicated to you. He purchased you at a really high cost, the price of his blood. You are special to him. He's made you a part of his family. This is why as children of God, we should be dedicated in turn. We should be dedicated to him. And because all of these things that I just said are so, in looking at that verse, 1 Peter 2:9? Because all of those things are true, all the rest of that verse is true as well, whether or not you feel like it is or not. You may not feel like these things are true, but this verse also says that you are set forth to do wondrous deeds. This is your role because of the family name that you have. You, personally, are set forth to do wonderful deeds, to demonstrate his virtue and his perfectness. Jesus Christ can do amazing, supernatural things through you. He can do supernatural deeds in you and through you. And this is what we should expect. This should be our expectation every day to see those supernatural things because of our position in the family and because of the power of the family name, the authority of the family name that you carry with you. Does that make sense? All right, let me look at one last thing, one last verse. This is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. So if you're just at 1 Peter, just go back just a wee little bit. It's right next to it. For both he... This is chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. For both he who sanctified and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. The one who is sanctifying, Jesus Christ, the one who sanctifies, and the ones who are being sanctified, you and I, are one. I mean, again, this just shows you are part of the family. Jesus Christ. You are one with Jesus Christ. And it also says he calls us brethren. Again, this is saying that you are a part of his family. And you carry the family name. He calls you brethren. In the Greek, the word for brethren there is Adelphia. Adelphia means this. It means the fellowship of love. And it means the fellowship of love that is equal to or equates or is the same thing as the life. A community of life. In essence, what this is saying is, you've been adopted by Jesus Christ. You are adopted and you are a part of the family. Now, when you adopt in this world, in this natural world, when you adopt a child, you love that child like they were your own and they are a part of your family. But here's one thing in the natural that doesn't change. You can love that child with all of your heart, but you know what? That child's blood does not become your blood. That child's DNA does not become your DNA. You can love them as much as you want. In the natural, those things don't change. But when you are called Adelphia, when you are called brethren by Jesus Christ, you are in that fellowship of love. You are part of the family. You carry the family name. You are part of that community of life. And you have been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And his blood has changed you. His blood has changed you and made you to become like him. This is what we, if you look at it, and we've in Bible study, we've been looking at 1 John. 1 John, again and again, 1 John tells us, he dwells in you and we dwell within him. You know, in the natural, the blood may not change. But when you became part of the family of Jesus Christ, by his blood, you are changed. You have the spiritual DNA of Jesus. You are recognizable in the spiritual realm as being a part. You are the spiritual DNA of Jesus Christ. You are part of the family. This is why it's the power of being a child of God. And this is why it's so important for us to understand and to fully appreciate who we are, to know that we are a part of the family of God, that we carry the family name, and the family name carries with it power and authority for your life and every element of your life. This is your family name. Amen? You guys receive that? Jesus, we thank you and praise you that your word is true. I just thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that as we just think and meditate upon that ourselves, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you just bring revelation to us, that we have a deeper understanding of what takes place in us and what took place in us when we made you Lord and Savior, of that change that took place in us, of that DNA, that blood change because of your blood, that we are truly a part of your family. Let us walk today and walk this week carrying the power and authority of the family name and demonstrating the power and the authority of the family name, your name, Jesus. We thank you and praise you. You be glorified in all things, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for making us family. It's all to your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship as we close this morning.